The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 18th through Sunday, March 24th, 2024. The commentary for March was written by Troy Mendez, Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, a historic and vibrant downtown Phoenix congregation. He is also active on the boards of trustees at Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary. He is passionate about the church offering to all people a sense of belonging and the grace of new life given to us in Jesus Christ. The commentary for Monday, March 18th begins as follows. Monday, March 18th is the day we celebrate the feast of Cyril of Jerusalem. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 9, verse 31. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." Cyril of Jerusalem had a great interest in forming catechumens in the Christian faith. In a fourth century world hostile to Christianity, committing to Jesus required a lifelong commitment. Nowadays, many congregations prepare adults for baptism during the Easter Vigil service, held on the Saturday before Easter Day. I once sponsored a baptismal candidate and attended weekly classes with him. Besides learning the basics of the Christian faith, we talked openly about being a Christian in the modern world. Our leader told us, "Being baptized will change everything for you. Even if you don't believe this right now, when you look back 10 years from now, you'll see clearly how much you have been changed by Jesus. Nothing will ever be the same. Our hope in Christ does not end with death and destruction. Something far more glorious is ahead, and nothing will ever be the same again." And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 41. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him, "Who is the greatest?" When they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. And the moving forward question for this Monday, March 18th is, how are you preparing for Easter? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 19th, the day we celebrate the Feast of Saint Joseph. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 50. But they did not understand what he said to them. 12-year-old Jesus proclaims something about himself that his parents do not yet understand. Little has changed between preteens and their parents in more than 2,000 years. When I was 12, many of my teachers saw me as a model student, but at home I felt misunderstood by my parents. As a result, I was not very nice to my parents. In fact, I was mean. Like Joseph and Mary in this story, my parents responded to me in the most non-reactive way possible. Their steadiness provided a framework for me to find a sense of understanding about myself and how I related to my family. Today, as we remember Saint Joseph, I give thanks for how his steadiness points us toward seeing Jesus as Messiah and Savior. We have many Josephs in our lives, people who gently and steadily point us toward God. Today we offer thanks for them, for their acceptance and their love, but most especially for being a vehicle of God's grace that accompanies us on our journey of life. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, March 19th, who are some of the Josephs in your life? Reach out and thank them for their steadiness. Now the commentary for Wednesday, March 20th, the day on which we celebrate the Feast of St. Cuthbert. It begins with a passage from Psalm 130, verse 2. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? The Celtic Saint Cuthbert lived in 7th century Northumbria, Great Britain, a region where Christianity was one of many faiths. Cuthbert, therefore, was surrounded by a panoply of religious thought. In this context, Cuthbert found his strength. The mercy and love of God through Jesus sustained him in his ministry. Even when his world fell apart because of disease or warfare, Cuthbert still looked to Christ as his Lord and Savior. Today, other Christians in our communities hold different beliefs about God than we do. While some Christians focus on the judgment of others, I believe Christ's ultimate prayer is for all of us to be one. When we practice seeking unity in Christ instead of division, our perspective of what might be possible expands. The wideness of God's mercy recognizes that God can handle anything, even what goes amiss. Our calling, like Cuthbert's, is to focus on Jesus and the unity he offers all of us. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, this month, focus on the common ground you share with other believers. How might you celebrate this unity in Christ? And now the passage from Thursday, March 21st, the day we commemorate the feast day of Thomas Ken. It begins with a passage from the second book of Corinthians by Paul, chapter 3, verse 18. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord the Spirit. Thomas Ken, an English bishop in the late 1600s, saw the glory of God in everyone, even his adversaries. It couldn't have been easy. In Ken's day and our own, politics and religion do not mix well. A few years ago, I was invited to attend the Governor's Prayer Breakfast in Arizona. These events are sponsored by Christian groups, many of which hold viewpoints contrary to mine. I decided to pray before the event to be shown Christ's presence inside the people who attended. I also prayed that nothing too contentious would be raised in the speeches that morning. While my faith in Christ was expressed differently than my breakfast mates, I found a wholeness in Christ's body that morning. New friendships began with new levels of trust among people from different backgrounds. Christ showed us God's glory and gave us glimpses of what unveiled faces look like. And now I'm going to read the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. Since then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, what role should religion play in politics? Now we turn to the commentary for Friday, March 22nd, the feast day of James de Koven. It begins with a passage from Exodus, chapter 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may worship me.'" The Catholic piety expressed by James de Koven in the 19th century Episcopal Church cost him several bishop elections. People did not understand his absolute commitment to worshiping God with all his heart, mind, and strength. His desire for sacramental liturgy intimidated a church that was not fully comfortable bringing Catholic elements back into the Episcopal Church. His desire for Christians to encounter Christ in the Eucharist prompts us to examine how we promote or impede the worship of God in our communities. We all desire to connect with the living God in our own unique way. Imagine if we created communities of worship that allowed everyone to find their soul's sense of belonging in a generous, imaginative, and expansive environment. We might surprise ourselves with God's response, and the fruits of our labors would be nothing less than the actualization of the kingdom of God right here and now. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may worship me. For this time I will send all my plagues upon you yourself, and upon your officials, and upon your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But this is why I have let you live, to show you my power and to make my name resound through all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Tomorrow at this time I will cause the heaviest hail to fall that has ever fallen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Send, therefore, and have your livestock and everything that you have in the open field brought to a secure place, every human or animal that is in the open field and is not brought under shelter will die when the hail comes down upon them." Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried their slaves and livestock off to a secure place. Those who did not regard the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the open field. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that hail may fall on the whole land of Egypt, on humans and animals and all the plants of the field in the land of Egypt." Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire came down on the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. There was hail with fire flashing continually in the midst of it, such heavy hail as had never fallen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the open field throughout all the land of Egypt, both human and animal. The hail also struck down all the plants of the field and shattered every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said to them, This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord. Enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go. You need stay no longer. Moses said to him, As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your officials, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they are late in coming up. So Moses left Pharaoh, went out of the city, and stretched out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured down on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned once more and hardened his heart, he and his officials. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. And the moving forward question for this Friday, March 22nd, do you struggle with different liturgical styles? What lessons can we take from the witness and the life of James de Koven? Now the commentary for Saturday, March 23rd, the feast day of Gregory the Illuminator. It begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Many years ago, I encountered a new co-worker who was curious about my faith. He had constant questions, but I didn't talk about my faith at work. Over time, though, we became close friends. I began to share information about my experiences of church. Being authentically me helped my friend engage the presence of Christ as the authentic person he was made by God to be. This spirit of grace and openness reveals something far more profound than any persuasive witnessing would have done. The power of God was present in the grace. And now I'm going to read from the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 13 through 18. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, the day before Palm Sunday, is Forward Movement provides daily devotionals like these that we're reading, Bible studies, and other resources to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons. If you'd like to, you can join in this ministry with a donation to forwardmovement.org. And now as we reach the end of the program and also the end of this week, we turn to the passage for March 21st, Sunday, Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion. It begins with a passage from Mark 14, verse 19. They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, Surely not I. After Jesus declares that someone will betray him, the disciples revert to self-preservation instead of expressing concern for Jesus' safety. The disciples' ongoing ignorance about what is taking place is shocking and heartbreaking. Herein lies the dilemma of our present reality. As much as we think we know what is happening, there's always more to the story. I believe one of the reasons Jesus invites his disciples to stay awake and pray is so they have time to discern the meaning behind the events taking place. Sadly, they do not follow what he asks. The times we live in are tumultuous, with many experiencing extreme challenges. Our leaders often rush toward quick solutions when real societal solutions require a transformation of the heart. How might we express genuine concern for those needing our help instead of defaulting to the old patterns of self-preservation? Our discipleship might put the concerns of Christ over our own for the benefit of all. And now I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The moving forward question for this Palm Sunday 2024, are you awake and praying? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray on this Palm Sunday. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.